And good morning. This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Welcome to hour number two of the show. Harriet Williamson is the producer for our program. Jason Croft is at the controls for this hour, and Kyle Mabry was on for hour number one. As the number of older Americans grows, so does the need for nursing home beds. And as that need has grown, so have concerns about quality of care. What does the ideal facility look like, and what kind of staff do you need to provide the best care? What kind of information is available when it comes to time to place a family member? Well, this morning in this part of Focus, we'll be spending some time looking at the challenges involved in providing top-quality nursing home care. And we have two guests with us here in the studio. Christopher Casper, he is the administrator of Country Healthcare and Rehabilitation. That's in Gifford. And also right next to me here is Chuck Schutte. He's the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. And we're coming to you this morning, of course, as usual on WILL AM, but we're also broadcasting on our website. We're webcasting this morning at WILL.illinois.edu. So good morning and hello to all the folks who may be watching us. What we want to do here is also begin by airing a report that was just recently produced by CU Citizen Access, taking a look at rating of nursing homes in our area. And then we'll try to talk a little bit about that system and get some comments from our guests here this morning. Certainly, it is true that many families throughout East Central Illinois are facing tough decisions about whether to move loved ones into nursing homes. As Dan Petrella of CU Citizen Access reports, they may be surprised to learn that many area nursing homes received low marks from the federal government.
Last Monday, resident Ardith Orr and others at Country Healthcare and Rehab sang hymns during morning devotions. Orr has lived at the nursing home in rural Gifford since having a bad fall last year.
I don't think they even thought I would live when I came in here because I had so many aches and pains and so many things that happened to me afterwards that while I was recuperating from my fall, gosh, I had pneumonia twice and I had a emergency gallbladder surgery. I had a back fracture.
Now on the mend, Orr wishes she was still able to live in her own apartment. She knows that's no longer possible. But Orr keeps a smile on her face and participates in many activities at the home.
I can't complain about one thing. I just simply can't. The staff has been good to me.
Many area nursing home residents aren't so lucky. State records and interviews with advocates reveal numerous incidents that have endangered residents' health and safety. Some are left waiting nearly an hour for help using the bathroom. Others develop serious bed sores that go unnoticed for days or weeks. Or they break bones when dropped by staff members helping them into beds or wheelchairs. In some cases, these incidents have even resulted in deaths. 2 years ago, a resident at Carl Arbor's in Savoy choked on mandarin orange slices and died the next day. He was supposed to receive a pureed diet, but he was found with solid food protruding from his mouth. The administrator at Carl Arbor's, now called Champaign-Urbana Regional Rehab Center, could not be reached for comment.
When someone says, I accept you, I will admit you, I can take care of you, they have made a promise, and you need to fulfill that.
That's Tammy Wacker, the regional ombudsman for the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging, a Bloomington-based nonprofit that advocates for nursing home residents. The Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services rate nursing homes certified to accept government aid payments. Homes that are much above average get 5 stars. Homes that are much below average get 1 star. Out of 7 Champaign County nursing homes, 4 are rated below or much below average. These low-rated homes contain 75% of the beds available to government aid recipients. Chris Casper is administrator of Country Health, the only 5-star nursing home in Champaign County.
We're very proud to be a 5-star facility.
He admits the system has limitations, but believes it's a useful resource for consumers. Other nursing home officials are much more critical. Greg Wilson is vice president for Peterson Healthcare. The company owns Illini Heritage Rehab and Healthcare in Champaign, one of 3 local facilities rated much below average. In an email, he called the rating system, quote, very flawed. Tammy Wacker also acknowledges that the ratings aren't perfect, but she says they make some things very clear. In addition to the overall rating, homes are given stars for health inspections, staffing, and so-called quality measures, such as the percentage of residents with bed sores.
A lot of times when you've got homes that are rated a 1-star in all 3 of those categories, it's a really safe bet that that's a 1-star home, and that's exactly what you're going to get.
One such home is Helia Healthcare of Champaign. In recent years, the home has paid about $72,000 in fines and penalties for violating regulations. In one incident, a resident broke his neck and died when his wheelchair fell backwards. A nursing assistant was wheeling him into the shower using a poorly constructed ramp. Administrator Araceli Henson canceled two scheduled interviews after agreeing to speak with us. Helia's Urbana location shut down in 2009 when regulators pulled its certification due to ongoing problems with patient care. Many nursing homes say delayed state reimbursements contribute to low staffing levels and other issues that can impact residents' quality of life. But Wacker says very few facilities are making their best efforts to invest in resident care and are still struggling financially.
I have very little sympathy for that argument.
If you're looking for a nursing home, advocates say it's crucial to visit facilities you're considering, ask a lot of questions, and most importantly, talk with current residents and their families. I'm Dan Petrella for CU Citizen Access and Illinois Public Media.
CU Citizen Access reporter Pam Dempsey and University of Illinois journalism graduate Sabrina Santucci contributed to this story. To read more about the conditions of area nursing homes, visit cu-citizenaccess.org. There you can also view an interactive map of facility ratings. You can also find resources to help in selecting a nursing home. Well, now we'll turn to our guests here in the studio and talk about some of the issues raised in this report. And I will introduce them to you a little bit more fully than I did just to start. Chuck Schutte, he is the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. He has a master's degree in healthcare administration from Maryville University in St. Louis. He has over 30 years' experience in healthcare management, 24 years as the chief nursing officer. He is also licensed as a registered nurse and as a nursing home administrator. Chris Casper is a licensed nursing home administrator in Illinois, has been since August 2010. He is the administrator at Country Healthcare and Rehab in Gifford and has been there since April of 2011. He began his career in long-term care in 2001 as a dietary manager at a facility in Urbana. He then worked his way to becoming an assistant administrator and business office manager for a local long-term care facility in Paxton. Thank you both very much for being here. We appreciate it. Also want to tell people who are listening, questions, comments are welcome. You can call in 333-9455 and also send in your emails to will-talk@illinois.edu. I guess maybe I should also give the toll-free line, and that's 800-222-9455. Well, again, I thank you very much for being here. I'm sure when both of you, when you hear examples of bad patient care, that makes you really unhappy. Nobody likes to hear stories like that. But I have to ask Chuck about your feelings about this rating system. Now, the facility that Chris runs, it's the only 5-star facility in the county. The Champaign County Nursing Home in the current ratings gets 2 stars. So tell me about that.
Well, first of all, you got to start somewhere with these ratings. So, you know, everybody can, you can be critical of them. You can say that there's a better system. You can say that this doesn't work. But what we have with this is you're looking at a few key indicators. Overall staffing, you're looking at the RN staffing, and then you're looking at the quality measures. Now, finally, the thing that hurts Champaign County Nursing Home is the public surveys. And they're fairly strict, much more strict than what I saw on the acute care side. They need to be strict. You can feel like they're unfair. I'm not so sure that they are. I don't think they're unfair. I don't think they give you all the information you need. If you were looking at Champaign County and you saw the 2-star rating that we had, you wouldn't recognize that necessarily what went into that. The fact that we had some public health surveys that were not so good in the past, and that is reflective on the last 3 years, is something that needs to be looked at more in depth. What were the causes for those things? How did we correct those things? I would think that an individual would want to look at that, because when you're looking at a nursing home, you're looking at a lot of things. And I can say this because with my own mother, I placed her in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got interested in getting into this. One of the things that was key to us is location. I have 11 brothers and sisters, and we wanted to be able to place my mom where we could come and visit her frequently. So the fact that they had surveys that were not so good was a concern to us. But when we go in and we discuss that with them and what their actions were to correct it, that made us feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. We looked at their quality measures. We were extremely pleased with that. And then we looked at the overall staffing. The real thing is I think you got to start with the Medicare. I really do. You got to look at what's going on, and you got to go in and identify those particular problems. But then you got to visit the place, and you got to see how the individual employees interact with you and how they interact with the residents. And it's a starting point.
Yeah. I want to get some response from Chris Casper. I'm sure that you would be happy. You have reason to be happy because at least on this particular rating, you got 5 out of 5 and you're the only 5-star rated home in Champaign County. How do you feel about this rating system?
Well, you know, I will say that I do believe the rating system has a long way to go. I will definitely say it is. I would definitely agree with Chuck that it's a good starting point. You know, there's a lot of things that go into the different rating system. There's different measurements that are in there, and consumers really need to look when they're looking at the Nursing Home Compare website or requesting what the star rating system is from the facility to really analyze what those are and ask questions. Ask questions what are going into those components. And as far as, you know, the public health survey aspect, that is the one that pretty much has the heaviest weight on you. And I believe it's somewhere around 60% of your last annual survey is reflected in that public health survey star. And so, you know, you really need to ask the questions. And of course, you know, what happened at that survey? And on top of that, you know, with those surveys, it may not necessarily be a care issue. Sometimes it's as minor as a paperwork issue. So those are things that need to be considered when residents and consumers are looking for a placement. But definitely I would say it's a work in progress, and I know even CMS has said it's a work in progress. You know, they're constantly coming up with new data that they're putting into these, and, you know, there's a new survey process going to be coming out here. I believe it's next year, in 2013, actually. It's called the QIS survey. You know, that's going to have a lot of bearing as well, you know, to see it's going to have a lot more weight on those quality measures, which really I think the quality measures have a lot more bearing on your facility as far as what it's doing, because it's based directly off of the clinical information on your residents and what you're doing for them. So I think really people need to look a little heavier at the quality measure side.
Well, if you think about what it is that's most important, it seems that the thing that I see reference to again and again, and it seems pretty basic idea, are staffing levels. You know, how many nurses you have and how many residents you have, and that the better that ratio is, it seems that the fewer problems there are. Is that in your mind? Does most of it actually come down to that? Is it simply about how many people that you have on staff?
I think that gets too simplistic, and you could be heading for trouble. There's certainly a level where if you go below this level, you're going to start to have problems with quality and with safety. But just to be adding the staff doesn't necessarily indicate that you're going to improve. You got to be looking at how those individuals are trained, and you got to be looking at how they're being directed, how they're being supervised. And there's just so many things about you can have a technically strong nurse or CNA. She's just a little bit inattentive. She doesn't show the caring aspects. And that's a quality issue. An issue of being inattentive and not placing a water glass close to the bed is kind of insignificant. But an individual inattentive in getting back to a person who's in a bathroom could be really disastrous. So it's not always the numbers. It's how well they're trained and what is their predisposition to doing this job.
Well, it also could have to do with having to take care of more people than you really can take care of. How do you know that? For example, if you're going into a nursing home and you're trying to decide is the staff attentive or not. Now, one thing I guess I would look at is, well, how many patients do you have to take care of? But to decide to know in greater depth, As a consumer, how do you find that out?
Well, I think, if I can step in from it, I think the biggest thing that you need to consider is it's not just in regards to the number of residents a certain CNA or nurse is caring for. You have to focus in on what the acuity level is. You know, what is the condition of the residents that you're taking care of? Mm-hmm. There are residents that are going to need significantly more care than others. So you have to take that into consideration. So when consumers are coming out, especially I see these on our tours, you know, they're coming in more educated, asking more questions, which is exactly what they should be doing. And, you know, they ask, you know, what are your staffing levels? You know, and in certain areas that are maybe our long-term section, we staff differently than those from residents that are coming directly back from the hospital. You know, it really is just based on that. And those are the questions that consumers need to ask is, you know, how can we get a more accurate figure of what those staffing ratios are? And, of course, it is required that you have to have your staffing posted in your nursing home when they walk in so they can see exactly how many residents you have in your building on that day, how many aides you have per shift, and nurses, things like that. So that can help as well.
Mm-hmm. We have an acuity system at our place where we try to measure the complexity of the individual resident and how much care is going to be required to do it in a quality fashion. But there's a fallacy to that too, because though you're measuring the complexity of the patient, you're still not always measuring the workload of the nurse's aide or of the RN themselves. Mm-hmm. What duties do you require of that nurse have nothing to do with the patient, but might be necessary for the efficiency of that department? And so sometimes workload doesn't really get measured, and then you start to have problems. So acuity systems, they're a starting point. They're good, and they reflect that you're trying to at least provide more care to those residents who need it, but it still doesn't measure everything, and it's hard to always measure the total workload of the caregiver.
Let me just very quickly, for the benefit of anybody who has just tuned in, introduce our guests. Chuck Schutte, he is the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. Also here in studio with me is Christopher Casper. He's the administrator of Country Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Gifford. We're here this morning on AM, WILL AM, as always, and online, too, webcasting on our website. It's WILL.illinois.edu. We're talking about what's involved in running a nursing home, and a question. Questions, comments are welcome. If you have particular experiences to share or you have questions, 333-9455 is the Champaign Urbana number. We have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. Also, email is possible if you'd like to send in your thoughts, questions that way. That's willtalk@illinois.edu. Now, I think I would want to mention, in fairness for Chuck, that you're a relative newcomer to the Champaign County Nursing Home, and there have been some problems, and that those were problems that occurred before you became the administrator. But it is the case that if you look at the nursing homes in our 13 county area, if you look at those that have paid the highest fines, the top 10, Champaign County Nursing Home is among those. What when you first came to the Champaign County Nursing Home, and you reviewed what had happened there in the months and the years before you got there, did you have particular thoughts about the kind of care that was being provided there?
I didn't really have particular thoughts about the care. I mean, I understood that there were some problems, and that's why I was being brought in and try to make sure that we wouldn't have those again in the future. But going back to the staffing, when I looked in on those problems, I didn't see the staffing as the issue. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I think staffing is something you got to watch for. And certainly if you have in our home, we have a rating of 4 stars. We feel that's pretty good, an overall rating of 4 stars. But to trace problems back to the amount of staff, it's not always doable. And so you got to look at other areas. Mm-hmm. And then you have to remember, too, when you're dealing with another issue, I'm sure we'll talk about this later, with the fact that you're not being paid by the state and federal governments. How do you control your cost? And if you just you say you're going to add the staff and that's going to solve your problems, it's not going to solve your problems. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more complex than that. Staffing is an issue, and you have to give it due consideration. But I think it's too easy of an answer, and it doesn't always provide the safe environment you need.
Well, let's talk about budget issues. Oh, well, go ahead.
I'd like to also say, you know, a lot of residents coming in, as well as family members, when they come into a nursing home, I'm seeing a little bit more of a trend that they think it's going to be 24-hour care as if they were at home and had a caregiver at their side 24 hours a day. Mm. And, you know, that's something to consider. You know, generally, you know, our ratio, you know, typically, you know, we might have, you know, 8 to 10 residents per CNA, depending on, you know, the day or depending on, you know, the workload, things like that. But that's also something that consumers need to be more educated about, I believe. And we try to educate them when they come in and tour, is that, you know, this isn't going to be like the 24-hour care you can get at home when you have a caregiver by your side at all times. Of course, we have call systems to get in touch with us, you know, and we still make our hourly rounds and things like that to take care of them. But it's not going to be the same as if you had 24-hour care at home.
And many of our patients are also coming directly from a hospital. And in those cases, their acuities are much higher. The procedures that are being done are much more complex. And so they're seeing more staff around for those acute care patients. Now, they're moving these patients over into the intermediate side, and they think that it's always going to be the same. And it's just not going to be the same. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe I want to ask about staffing levels. So you're saying, Chris, you're saying that at your place that – and admittedly here we're talking about averages, and I'm sure that on any given days things change. But overall you're talking about for a certified nursing assistant, you have any – like 8 to 10?
Depending, generally.
What would there be
– On our long-term care side, we will have – it will be 1 to 10 – one CNA to 10 residents with 2 licensed personnel on a particular shift. Now, if we go into our dementia side, it's going to be 1 to 7 mm-hmm. with on the day shift with 2 licensed personnel. Now, on each shift, it may change a little bit. That type of ratio will stay pretty close to that on the evening, but it will go down a little bit on nights, particularly in the licensed care side. Mm-hmm. So on for the 50 residents, you'll have 4 CNAs, and you'll only have 1 licensed personnel on evenings for that long-term care. And then again, because of the acuity of what you're looking at on for dementia patients, it'll be a little bit higher. Yeah.
So as far as you can speak for what averages would be for other nursing homes, is that 7 to 10 sort of ratio of resident per staff person, is that fairly average for nursing homes?
I would say it's fairly average. And, of course, you know, public health does dictate in the regulations, you know, a certain percentage of care hours per resident that you have to have on staff. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are considered the minimums. But I would say, especially all the facilities that I've visited in the area, which are quite a few actually in several counties, they're all above and beyond what public health actually requires as a minimum. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's pretty much the standard.
That really this is something that I have not I have not spent a lot of time in nursing homes. It's not something that I have had to so far in my life to pay attention to. That seems like a big workload. You're asking a lot of one person to having to be looking after between 7 and 10 individuals. Again, it depends on what kind of care those people need. But it seems to me like that's an extraordinarily big job.
I think, too, you got to remember that it's not the only care that's provided to a resident. If your residents are receiving rehab, mm-hmm. Now they're going one-on-one with a physical therapy assistant. And that may be in there for as much as an hour a day, 5 days a week. So a lot of times you're not always seeing, with those ratios, the care that's being provided. You don't see the care that's being provided by activity personnel. You don't see the care that's being provided by social service personnel. And then, two, we have personnel in supervisory positions that don't get figured into that mix. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're available to supervise and, in many cases, provide basic nursing care.
I think Chuck hit that right on the head. You know, you know, it is a multidisciplinary care plan approach to every resident. And so there, you know, when you look at those, the ratios, that's, you're just looking at CNAs, you know, your nurse's assistants. You may not be looking directly at nurses or the supervisory staff, which most supervisory staff have some sort of a working relationship on the floor, as well as, you know, you have to factor in dining times, activity times, therapy times, all these multiple, you know, of course, times where maybe they're taking a nap or resting times. You know, there's a lot to figure into that.
Well, as for the two of you, let's just ask that now that you raised the point. As administrators, how much direct contact would you say that you have with residents?
As far as myself?
Yeah.
Well, I make rounds every day. At least, yeah. I try to make rounds at least every hour to 2 hours. Generally, I don't meet with every resident, but I at least try to touch base with every resident every day. But I have a significantly smaller home as well, you know, so I have a little bit more ability to do that. You know, and then with that, you know, that might be just helping, you know, taking them to the dining room as far as pushing them. Of course, I'm not licensed to be able to actually do any physical care with them. But generally, you know, especially in response to, say, a call light going off, you know, a lot of the time it's not something that necessarily a direct caregiver has to do. It might just be, can you turn my light on? Can you hand me my water pitcher? Can you close my blind? You know, it can be something very simple. So, you know, but as far as direct care time, you know, I spend a lot of time on the floor. I'm not much of a person to sit behind a desk.
And how many residents do you have there at your home?
We're licensed for 89. We're only able to accommodate 75 right now because we're still under our renovation right now. Right. So,
yeah. And how many people are there? I want you to, you know, talk about the same thing, but just I'm just curious. How many residents are there at Champaign
County?
We have
202 residents today. We're licensed for 243, and I don't think we've ever been there. Mm-hmm. I make rounds, too. I do once in the morning and then once in the afternoon. And then I participate in the lunch meal service where we kind of act as waiters, and that's my way of interacting with them. I have several residents that routinely make their way down to the administration office, and they discuss with me. And I have to be out there pretty quick because they won't wait around for more than 5 or 10 minutes. But I'm a registered nurse, but I will tell you, as a rule, I do not provide any patient care. So I'm not going to be giving, I'm not going to be passing medications, and I'm not going to be starting IVs or anything like that. I believe that even though I know the correct procedures for those kind of things, I'm not going to be involved in that kind of care.
Okay. We have a caller here. Let's bring them in. Someone who is listening in Danville on our toll-free line. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. There are two things. I noticed that the gentlemen are speaking about the licensed professionals. They're not calling them RNs or LPNs. So for 50 patients, do you have an RN on staff at night for 50 patients or an LPN?
In our facility, when I mentioned those 50 patients, that's one unit. So there's going to be an RN and there's going to be an LPN. Now, on another unit, there's going to be an RN and an LPN. And then remember, again, we have another RN that functions in a supervisory role on each shift.
Okay, and my next question is, like the gentleman was saying, 7 to 10 patients. I understand that there are all these other people, physical therapy assistants, and people who may intervene at times, but the nursing assistants really are the ones who change the beds, clean the room. If the patient gets dirty, they have to change them. And so I think that's a lot of people for one aide to take care of. And maybe everyone is not having accidents, but the truth is that on any given day, there may be several interventions that only the nursing assistant is called to take care of.
Any other thoughts?
I would definitely say that, you know, you also have licensed professionals that do tend to assist with care, and as well as other staff members. At least in my home, they do help each other out. I do see teamwork consistently with that, and not everybody's always at the same time either. I think that's the biggest thing to understand, is that, you know, there may not be 50 residents that need to use the restroom at the same time, but definitely, you know, that's one thing that I look at as far as, especially as our facility continues to grow, is changing those staffing numbers so that we can be even more resident oriented than we already are, and trying to relieve some of that pressure that's on the certified nurses assistants.
You know, that's good to hear.
No one disagrees.
As a nurse myself, I see the inadequacies at times, because when the nurses we're very busy with, obviously, medications and everything else, and, you know, it's very hard to intervene at times.
You are right. That is a lot of work for a CNA, a lot of work for an RN, LPN. No one doubts that. It's our ability to bring in additional staff with the funding that's available to us. And how do you get that done? And how do you provide that? And how do you do that when, you know, the state of Illinois and other agencies are behind in their payments by 6 months or more? So
you're absolutely correct. I just felt as a professional I wanted to intervene on that aspect, but the point you're raising is a very important one, and one that the community needs to be aware of. And at some point, we really need to take more proactive a stance in terms of holding our legislature more accountable for this. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, we're talking this morning with two administrators of nursing homes here in Champaign County. With us here in studio is Christopher Casper. He's the administrator of Country Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Gifford. And Chuck Schutte, he's the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. We'll talk some more after a short break. This is Focus.
The new film J. Edgar, directed by Clint Eastwood, portrays former FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover as a man who had to keep his sexual orientation a secret, but collected other people's secrets to use against them. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with the screenwriter Dustin Lance Black. He also wrote the screenplay for Milk about gay activist Harvey Milk. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
Is All Things Considered your companion as you drive home? Your past giving has brought you news from around the globe and across the country. Your continued support will help keep accurate news a part of your daily routine. Renew your membership now at willpledge.org. Thanks for helping us keep this respected source of news and information available to everyone in our community.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're coming to you this morning on WILL AM. We're also webcasting at WILL.illinois.edu. We have two guests here with us. Christopher Casper is the administrator of Country Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Gifford. And our other guest is Chuck Schutte. He's the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. We're talking about some of the challenges involved in providing care in nursing homes. One thing I might point you to, if you're interested in reading some more on this subject and taking a look at how nursing homes in Champaign County are rated, you should go to the website of CU Citizen Access, CUCitizenAccess.org. Lots of good information there. And also, I want to mention that tomorrow morning on the program, we'll be talking about a subject that certainly relates to what we're talking about here this morning, in the sense that I think a lot of people feel that the burden on nursing homes could be relieved if we could find ways to keep people in their homes longer. And so tomorrow morning in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be speaking with Alan Teal. He's a physician from Maine, where they have done a lot of work in this respect, and he's actually written a book about this. The title of the book is Alone and Invisible No More, How Grassroots Community Action and 21st Century Technologies Can Empower Elders to Stay in Their Homes and Lead Healthier, Happier Lives. So we'll hear what he has to say. Also, a little bit later this month, we'll have a conversation with a guest who's written a book specifically on the subject of how to find a good nursing home. So we're trying to provide some resources on these issues. Questions here are welcome. You can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You can also go online and write to us at will-talk@illinois.edu. I want for a second, I have a caller here I want to get to, but for a second to come to the financial issues and that Chuck has touched on them. And certainly there has been plenty of reporting here in our community on the financial pressures on the Champaign County Nursing Home. We've also been hearing stories about the Vermilion County Nursing Home. And it's both places, you all are facing the same issue. And that is long lag time in payments from the state of Illinois. And it's a real serious issue. Talk about that and what that means to you and you're trying to run your place, that the state takes its time in paying its bills.
You know, going on the acute care side, I never faced anything like this. And we did have lag time, but our ability to get revenue from other sources was so much better than you do have on the nursing home side. I will tell you, we're able to pay, you know, our basic things. We're certainly making payroll, and you're paying your light bill and your things like that. But we have so many vendors that provide so many things to us. Our agency nurses, our food, medical supplies, pharmaceuticals, all of these things. And we're lagging behind. They are certainly carrying us. I mean, I can't thank those individuals enough that they are willing to do this and not having any idea when the state's going to come through with the money. And as you know, here in Champaign, we went to our county board and we requested that we take our accounts receivable and then try to establish a line of credit. Mm-hmm. And of course, that the newspapers report that is unsuccessful, but there is some interest from some banks, and we're still hoping to pursue that. But it is it's scary for me because some of the services that we're getting from these vendors are essential to providing that care, and I'm totally amazed that they can hang on for so long.
Yeah, and just to make sure people understand what has been proposed, what you're needing to do is to say to go to a bank and saying, will you lend us the money until the state pays us, then we will pay you.
Correct.
That's essentially
And I think that some people are wondering here in Illinois, can you count on the state to come through with that money? And I will tell you that we are on an expedited list, and as was Vermilion, and I believe they already received some money. So we are hoping that we're going to be in line to get to get that, and then we'll be able to go back to our to these vendors who have been carrying us, and at least make good on those.
Yeah. Well, I think at least what I read about Vermilion County is yes, that they just recently got a six-figure check, and it looks like I believe just yesterday the board Vermilion County Board said, well, we will lend some money to get you through the end of the year now. By my calendar, that's only about another 3 weeks. I mean, are you really running on those kinds of timelines?
Well, I would think, as far as Champaign County goes, and of course Vermilion County, as Chuck said, is they're on an expedited payment schedule, whereas a facility like myself and another vast majority of facilities in the area are not on expedited schedules. We have not received any money since July of this year. We won't receive any money until possibly January or February of next year. And I have a very high, what we call census base in our facility, that is Medicaid. And, I'm having to use other resources in order to float that. And as far as a facility like Country Health, which is a single entity home, we do have the resources that we're able to withstand the storm, if you will. However, there are many, many homes in the state of Illinois, as well as large corporations, that don't have the ability to weather this, and they're closing. And that's very unfortunate, because there's an obvious solution to this problem. And I don't think the public, as well as not even so much the public, but the politicians really truly understand the impact it's having on nursing homes, because who does it ultimately affect? It ultimately affects our residents. Mm. Yes, it may affect us as far as jobs and employment and things like that to our communities, but we're affecting lives, as far as where are these residents going to be able to go.
So you haven't seen any state money in like 6 months?
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Thankfully, we are kind of community-based, and we have a very good auxiliary, and we've been able to withstand the storm. But it's definitely made you watch your pennies, and definitely, some improvements that you might want to be doing, you may have to kind of postpone on a little bit. But it's very challenging. And there are homes. There was, another home last week in southern Illinois that closed. And some of them are closing, really, I think they're only required to give 30 days, but I think that just got extended to 60 days. Hmm. But basically, they're saying, and of course, that's not just the residents that may be there under state funding. You're also talking about residents that are paying privately. So imagine if you finally found a nice place for your mother or father or loved one, and you're paying privately or through public sources, and suddenly saying, we can't keep our doors open anymore, we're sorry. Ultimately, we know where it's coming from. It's not bad business on the nursing home side. Mm.
I tell you, we have a caller here who's been patient. I want to make sure I get this, bring this person into the conversation. This is someone who is listening in Champaign on our line number one. Let's go there. Hello.
Hi. I used to be a case manager with the elderly. And so I sympathize with him. I know how difficult it is because of state funding. I think one of the problems in this country is that we need to be a more caring, giving nation. We're purchase-oriented. and I hope that's going to change. You can get from the Department of Aging an ombudsman if your relative's in a group home or somewhere where they're not getting the right treatment and have it in, looked into. And I think preventative care and in-home technology is going to help reduce the overload in the nursing homes. And hopefully that will be helpful. That's all. Thanks.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Any comment you'd want to make on what the caller had to say?
I think she's right. I mean, I'm definitely seeing a trend, especially among state agencies and things like that, to push going more to the home care, which, you know, of course, is on a business standpoint. Obviously, you want to be able to fill your beds at a nursing home. However, if an individual is able to stay at home just a little bit longer, I give them kudos for that and definitely going that route, you know, being able to stay at home. I mean, it's a big transition to move into a facility, you know, so if they're able to stay at home a little bit longer, you know, that's a good thing.
When I was on the acute care side, we noticed a big difference between those patients who were receiving orthopedic surgery and going to the nursing home. And then there was new developments in the type of surgeries, particularly knee surgeries, these knee implants. Whereas back in 95, when we first started our skilled care unit, these knee implants would come into our skilled care unit, and they would be there 8, 9, 10 days. When I left, these knee implants were going directly home. They were bypassing entirely. So there are improvements that are being made, and improvements that really have a very positive effect on the patient's health and their mm-hmm. and their lifestyle.
And recently, I've certainly seen a lot of that as well as far as our referral base, you know, with individuals getting, you know, orthopedic surgery and things like that. We're seeing a lot more of them going directly home. Or if they do come to the nursing home, it's very, very short. You know, it's basically just some intense therapy for maybe 2 weeks, and then they're back home.
Well, at the same time, though, isn't there the expectation, though, that it's, those aren't those people with those short stays? I mean, they've shortened up the stays. That's not where the big growth is going to be in demand for your services. It's going to be people who are going to be needing basic long-term care.
You're going to see that with the baby boomers, you know, starting to come into the nursing homes. You know, there's that's obviously a concern. You know, you have a lot of baby boomers coming in to the nursing homes and getting to that aspect. But of course, with the funding where it's at, how, and all these nursing homes having to close their doors, where do we go from there?
Hmm. How if you're going to expect that that demand will go up, and if you'd say maybe you'd like to do something about staffing ratios, so you know maybe in the ideal world. You know, maybe you'd rather have it to be one nurse for every 5 people rather than one for every 10. Say, if you were going to do that with your current number of residents, what would that mean for you in terms of how many more people you would have to hire, and then what that would mean for your budget? Could you even imagine doing something like that?
No, I can't imagine doing it right now. The reimbursements are such that. Where would you get it from? Where would that extra money come from? They're actually trying to reduce the amount they're providing. So, no, I'm not really optimistic about that. Not optimistic about getting those resources. But you know, I am optimistic about looking at our processes, our procedures, mm-hmm. and making sure that we're improving upon those. I feel that a lot of times, what is often said is necessary staff is sometimes it's just what are your procedures and what are you requiring staff to do that has no value, and yet you feel like it needs to be there. We you know when a nurse does an assessment, is it really necessary to check a tibial pulse on a patient? And yet I've seen nurses do those sort of things, and I wonder what would be the function of that when the person doesn't have any surgery on the or any problems identified with that particular leg, and yet somewhere along the line they were trained to do a complete assessment, and they feel they need to do that complete assessment every single shift. And it's just, it's time-consuming and unnecessary. Now, some patients do need to have their breath sounds checked daily or even every shift or more. But not all patients need to have their breath sounds. So a lot of times you have to take a look at what nurses are doing and how and some of the activities they're involved in and just how valuable that is to the resident. Is it really necessary? And when you find out that some of that activity offers nothing for patient safety or satisfaction or improvement of their life, then you got to say, okay, we got to stop doing those things and put that time elsewhere. That is, as I said, that's very complex. That requires a lot of study, a lot of training, and a lot of understanding among all the nurses, particularly nurses that really value about doing a very comprehensive evaluation assessment on each one of their patients. For even to pull that away from them sometimes, like, hey, this is essential to my function. And it isn't, but they feel that way.
I think Chuck really says it right, too, because, you know, with funding where it's at, in order to get to those levels, which and it would be a great thing if we could do that in the future and moving, you know, that kind of ratio to those numbers, it would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I can see a lot of benefits from that. But the biggest thing is until state government or other entities increase their reimbursement or at least more timely with the reimbursement, we're not going to be able to do that. Because in order to make that happen, we're going to have to take from somewhere else. So what services are we going to take away from the resident in order to give them that? Because, you know, when they're in a nursing home, it's not just about taking care of them, you know, while they're just up and around. You know, we're providing an entire quality of life perspective. You know, so in order to do that, you have to cut somewhere else.
We have two guests here, Christopher Casper. He's the administrator of Country Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Gifford, and Chuck Schutte. He's the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. We have about 5 minutes. We do have another caller here I want to get. In Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I wondered if you could say something about buildings. It seems that there's a move to have bigger, better, more technological able buildings, but that leaves our units like in Champaign, the old nursing home is there. Is there anything that you pick up from Maine or other places where those sorts of facilities are rehabbed and to perhaps a lower level that can take a patient that is not so in need?
Well, I'm not sure we're clear. Are you clear on the question?
I'm wanting to know, have you say something about the building of new nursing homes versus the rehab of nursing homes?
Okay.
Well, I know our facility, of course, we're under renovation right now. Our facility was originally built in the very late 60s and opened for business in the early 70s. And we're going through an extensive renovation now. And that was for a lot of reasons. You know, A, the building needed to be upgraded. Some of the rooms were more for three residents when, you know, obviously demand is more either private rooms or semi-private rooms. Also more open areas, so it felt like home. So it didn't have that institutional feel. And I would certainly say, just on the standpoint of Champaign County, I've toured that facility. The new facility was definitely something that needed to happen, you know, but compared to the old one. And the new one is very nice, and it's very home-like, very, you know, very uninstitutional, if you will.
Do you think that there again, we've talked about the fact that there's going to be this increased demand. Does that really mean that there will be, maybe there is existing facilities that can be rehabbed, but do you think that means that there's going to have to be a lot of building of new facilities?
Not really sure about that. I know that when they built the Champaign County Nursing Home, they built it 243 beds, and as I indicated earlier, our demand has never been close to 243 beds, mm-hmm. residents. Certainly there we have the capacity to absorb more in numbers. Are we going to have to build across the country? I think that if you actually look at it, there's a lot of places that a lot of counties who feel that they have an overabundance of beds right now. I'm not talking about every county, but if you go in and go by county by county here in the state of Illinois, you'll see that there's an abundance in some cases. Mm-hmm.
And how, just real, we just have about a minute left. I'm trying to ask at least a part of a question that someone has written in here online. In each of your facilities, maybe I'll start with Chuck, how many Medicaid beds do you have?
Oh, I forget the number, but it's well probably 75%.
Okay. And yeah. And how about at your place?
All of our beds are IPA certified.
They are all. Okay.
All of them.
And so there's no are there people waiting who would like to have one of those beds, or do you have enough beds so that you can actually meet that?
We're not waiting. Nobody waits.
Yeah,
we admit on evening shifts, we'll admit a patient on nights, we'll admit on weekends and holidays. As I said, we have an excess right now, so we can absorb that.
Okay. We're just about the place we have to finish. Any sort of last thoughts of what you would say to people when they're walking in and looking at a facility?
The big one I would say is, be educated. You use the electronic resources that are out there. The rating system that gets a lot of headlines, like Chuck said, that's a good starting point. But certainly, do your homework. Tour the facility. And I wouldn't say just tour the facility once. Most individuals that come and tour my facility, I encourage them to tour it more than once, come on different shifts so they can see what each shift is like, and maybe even spend a day where, I buy you lunch and at least experience what our meals are like so that they have an idea.
Talk with other family members that have placed them in your home. That's always a really good idea. You get firsthand information from them.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you.
We certainly appreciate it. Our guest this morning, Chuck Schutte, he is the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home, and also Christopher Casper, he's the administrator of Country Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Gifford. And if you'd like to read more about conditions of area nursing homes, you might go to the website of CU Citizen Access. That's cu-citizenaccess.org. There you can take a look at an interactive map of facility ratings and find resources to help in selecting a nursing home. There's a lot of good information there. So again, that's cu-citizenaccess.org.